Will the House please come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
31 members present.
We do have a quorum present to conduct business. Our chaplain today is Mary Ann Warden, Associate Pastor at Northern Lights United Church. Would the members please rise?
Angayuta, let us pray. Almighty God, you who have made this great land and have allowed many peoples to come and live with us, may we be sensitive to each other's needs and live with respect and honor. Bless these representatives that they may be doing their work in a spirit of wisdom, kindness, and justice. Help them use their authority to serve faithfully and to promote the general welfare. This we ask in your glorious morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Warden. Representative Parnell, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. May the journal reflect that Representative Bryce, Representative Cotton, and Representative Davies have previously been excused from a call to the House today.
Thank you. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as the correctness of the journal for the 26th, 27th, and 28th legislative days. Please note a typographical error on page 303 under House Bill 175. Delete the last sentence.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House journal is certified by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objection, the journal is approved. Do we have guests today for introduction? Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. With us today, I hope they made it in. Yes. There was some concern whether they would have a space in the gallery. But in the Taylor Gallery, we have members of the Board of Directors for the Resource Development Council. And this is a statewide, private, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization whose purpose is to encourage a strong, diversified resource development sector in Alaska. I'll ignore that comment. I have the pleasure to introduce constituents and colleagues and friends of RDC Board, and if we could hold the applause till they're all standing, I would appreciate that. Thias Shaw from Juneau. Lyle Van Bargen from Valdez. Vice President Jim Weeks from Anchorage. Vice President Board Scott Thorson of Anchorage. Senior VP of the Board, Elizabeth Vinish of Anchorage. President of the Board, Dave Parrish from Anchorage. We also have Becky Gay, the Executive Director of RDC, Carl Portman, the Communications Director, and Mr. Ken Friedman, Projects Coordinator. And I'd ask you to all give them a round welcome.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd also like to introduce a relatively large group from Cordova today. Before I start saying, I'd just like to say that for something a little bit different for Cordova, they are here speaking to me and the members of the body with a unified voice. And when Cordova speaks with a unified voice, it should bring faith that all of us could do so in this body. So let me introduce, please, Gary Thomas, Ed Maxwell, Patsy Fisher, Heather McCarthy, Paul Ropeman, Brian Lettich, Ted Achilles, Brian Gilbert, and John Bocci. All from Cordova. Thank you.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Foster.
Thank you. I've got in the gallery behind me from beautiful downtown Nome, Blaine Outwater, if you'll please stand, and also Boogles Johnson, third one out of Nome from a mine that's 80 miles to the north, up in the Cougar Rock. Taylor, the grandson of a very respected old mining family, the Sweet mining family, Scott Jung.
Representative McLean.
I'd like to introduce some close-up students of mine, and they're attending Mount Edgecombe High School, but their residency is in Buckland and Shishmaref. Let me introduce Gloria Frazier and Heather Skelton. Please help me welcome them.
Representative Olgan.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to introduce my son's fourth grade class from Juneau Christian School. Mrs. Stone is... if you all stand up when we say your name, please. Mrs. Harmon are the teachers. My son, Ryan Ogan, the daughter of my aide, Alan Kingman, and her name is Sarah McKinnon. And Jesse Stringer, Deborah Clements, Jasmine Green, Bruno Del Almo, Hans Felk, Christian Brown, Kelly Horan, Kayleen Simpson, Zachary Campbell, John Howard, John Gray, John Witsnett, Eric Peterson, Steve Matson, Mark Mesdeg, Jesse Carte, looks like Justin Rose, I hope I'm not mispronouncing it, Jennifer Algren, Joanne Hawk, Ted Heidersdorf, Daniel Hildebrand, Jason Mars, Michael McDowell, Jacob Abel, Stephen Zinn, Jared Burns, Willie Lake, Jessica Miller, Sarah, Travis Asmus, and Elijah Davis. Thank you very much.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It also gives me great pleasure this morning to introduce from the close-up group from Mount Edgecombe, his parents are constituents, Charles McCumbry. I hope he's there. I don't see him.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to also introduce three close-up students from my district. They are also attending Mount Edgecombe High School. I'd like to introduce from Craig, Jennifer Vincent, from Naugatuck, Molly Kimsey, and from Port Alexander, Nicole Reynolds. Please help me welcome them.
Representative Ivan.
Speaker, I've also got close-up students to introduce future leaders from, I've got two groups, students from Dillingham and students attending the Mount Edgecombe School. First of all, from Dillingham, we have Amy Timmerman, Teresa Dean, Casey Rolfe, Naomi Chuckwalk, and their chaperone, Laura Tarter, and also from the Mount Edgecombe School, original from Nunapichuk, Kevin Jimmy, from Kalikanuk, Sean Peterson, and Napakiak, Angela Kernak. Please help me welcome them.
Representative Nikolai.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I too have students with the close-up program that are students at Mount Edgecombe. They are future leaders from my district, and the first one that I'd like to introduce is from Nolata, my cousin Russell Darling, and from Marshall, Zena Cooper. Please join me in welcoming them to Juno.
Representative Foster.
Thank you. Earlier, the gallery was full, and two of my three that I introduced couldn't get in, and now they're in, Boogles Johnson and Blaine Outwater, if you'll help me welcome them here.
Representative Moses.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It gives me great pleasure today to introduce close-up students from Chicknick Lake, Oxenia O'Domin, Amigigik, Rachel Leonard, from Sandpoint, Rachel Ramsey, who's videotaping, and their chaperone, Carol Loftfield.
Representative Osterman.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I also have a close-up student from at Mount Edgecombe now, but from the village of Port Lions on Kodiak Island, Monica Nelson.
Representative Robinson.
Yeah, Madam Speaker. I, too, have two students who are from Juneau who are attending Mount Edgecombe. And the first student is Christy Lundstrom, and she's in the Taylor Gallery. And then also we have Eric Rowcroft, who's our photojournalist today. Welcome, both of them.
Representative Foster.
Yes, ma'am, a quick introduction to somebody that worked so hard here in the last few years coordinating the close-up students. Patrick Henry here in the gallery behind me.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. With every group of students has to be somebody along that cramps their style, and they have a teacher chaperone here by the name of Don Sergeant.
Further guests for introduction. We certainly want to extend a welcome to all our students that are with us today. Do we have messages from the governor?
No, Madam Speaker.
Do we have messages from the other body?
No, Madam Speaker.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications, Madam Speaker.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The House Resources Committee has considered the confirmation of the appointment of Virgil Umphenor as a member of the Alaska Board of Fisheries, recommending confirm Green, Barnes, Nikolai, no recommendation, Ogun, Osterman, and Williams. The report was signed by Green and Williams, co-chair. The Resources Committee has considered House Joint Resolution Number 27, exempt Alaska from Federal Clean Water Act, attaches an amendment and a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Williams, Osterman, Ogun, Green, and Barnes. No recommendation, Nikolai. The report was signed by Green, co-chair. HJR 27 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 4, Permanent Fund Dividend Eligibility, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 4, State Affairs, with the same title, recommending do pass Porter, Veazey, Finkelstein, B. Davis, Green, Bundy, and Toohey. The report was signed by Porter Chairman. HB 4 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Finance Committee has considered House Bill 9, Damage to Property by Minors, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 9, Finance, with the new title, attaches an indeterminate fiscal note and a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Hanley, Mulder, Parnell, Coring, Grusendorf, Navarre, Kelly, and Terrio. No recommendation, Brown. The report was signed by Hanley, co-chair. HB 9 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 20, Rights in Tides Merged Land, attaches an amendment recommending do pass Williams and Ogun. No recommendation, Nikolai, Barnes, Osterman, and Green. The report was signed by Green, co-chairman. HB 20 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 32, PFD Administrative Proceedings, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 32, State Affairs, with the same title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass James, Porter, Green, Robinson, and Ogun. No recommendation, Ivan and Willis. The report was signed by James, Chairman. House Bill 32 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 39, Authority to Pronounce Death, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 39, Judiciary, with the same title, attaches 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending do pass Veazey, Finkelstein, B. Davis, Porter, Green, Bundy, and Toohey. The report was signed by Porter Chairman. HB 39 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 79, Municipal Land Error Correction, recommending do pass Williams, Ogun, and Green. No recommendation, Nikolai, Barnes, and Osterman. The report was signed by Green, co-chairman. HB 79 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have citations or resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring Matthew D. Adamson, Eagle Scout by Representative Veazey, honoring Heidelberg Warriors Boys High School Basketball Team 1995, Region 5 Class A Basketball Champions by Representative Mackey, honoring Yakutat Eagles girls high school basketball team 1995 Southeast Region 5AA tournament champions by Representative Mackey. In memoriam Edwin Casco by Representative Mackey. In memoriam Arthur Almquist by Senator Taylor and Representative Williams. I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Do we have bills for introduction?
House Bill 177 by Representative Bundy, entitled An Act Relating to Police Protection Service Areas and Unified Municipalities and to Police Protection Provided by the State in Certain Municipal Areas.
Community and Regional Affairs, State Affairs, and Finance.
House Bill 178 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Making Supplemental and Special Appropriations for the Expenses of State Government, Making and Amending Capital and Operating Appropriations, and Providing for an Effective Date, and a letter was attached.
Finance.
House Bill 179 by Representative Terrio, entitled An Act Relating to the Commissioner of Education and the Commissioner of Fish and Game, and Providing for an Effective Date.
House Special Committee on Fish, Hess Committee, and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill 26 by Representative Parnell, entitled An Act Revising Rule 15, Alaska Rule of Criminal Procedure Relating to Depositions, to adopt the comparable federal rule. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 26 Judiciary with a new title, attaches a fiscal note and 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending due pass to E. Bundy, Green, B. Davis, and Porter. No recommendation, Finkelstein. The report was signed by Porter, Chairman. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 26 Judiciary with the new title, recommending due pass Hanley, Mulder, Navarre, Martin, Parnell, Terrio, Coring, Kelly. No recommendation, Foster, Grusendorf, and Brown. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 26, Judiciary, with a new title, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute will be adopted.
Do you have amendments? I have no amendments, Madam Speaker.
The House, please stand at ease. Please come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 26 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Would the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Yes, House Bill 26 Judiciary by the House Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Amending Rule 15, Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure Relating to Depositions.
Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It gives me a great pleasure today to sponsor House Bill 26, amending the rules of criminal procedure to narrow the times when we can take depositions. Essentially, in my view, what this is a victim's rights bill of sorts. In 50 states across America, in the federal court systems, in the criminal courts, we require a showing of exceptional circumstances when a deposition needs to be taken before that deposition is permitted by the court. In Alaska state courts, the showing is one of good cause, which is a much broader time period when the deposition can be taken. What this can lead to is an abnormally high amount or number of depositions where victims can be harassed and abused at the deposition and then again at trial. And what the bill attempts to do is to say, we only want to permit depositions when there's a good reason for doing so, a very good reason for doing so. This bill takes us down that track towards protecting the victims so that they are not harassed into changing their charges or to dropping the charges. And it says that it recognizes, too, that under our current criminal rules, that the defense in particular already has access to the victim's grand jury statement. They already have access to the victim's statements to the police. That oftentimes there's really no need to take a deposition of a victim or a particular witness. And we are going to change the rules of criminal procedure through this bill to make it tougher to take those depositions and tougher to harass victims. Thank you.
Thank you. Further debate? Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. I have looked at the existing Rule 15 and then looked at the revised Rule 15 as proposed by this piece of legislation, and I find the changes basically benign, or at least it appears that it asks for a higher standard. But in looking at it, it says to adopt a comparable or comparable federal laws, or to come into the same category. But to me, comparable is not necessarily the same. And I was kind of wondering between comparable and the same, because, Madam Speaker, some people think that a crocodile and an alligator are the same. You know, both like have teeth and like meat. And the question is, when you're in a legal swamp up to your neck, and 11 feet of either one of these is coming at you, is the situation the same or comparable? And what I'd like the sponsor to tell me, this comparableness, how close is the federal rule with a new state rule? And while I'm up, to give a little nip here further, yeah, I looked at the fiscal note here, and I know that I'm probably a little bit more conservative than the sponsor of this piece of legislation. And the fiscal note is over $1,000. But I noticed that that $1,000 fiscal note is basically for mailings to the members of the Alaska Bar Association, about 2,800 members of that bar association. Now, I'm sure all those members are aware of what is going on with this piece of legislation. Now, I was wondering if we could not save some money by simply sending a certified letter to the Alaska Bar Association, who in turn would be obligated to notify all the members of the bar as to this change. And therefore, we could save close to $1,000. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Parnell.
Madam Speaker, perhaps we should find out if there are any additional questions on the bill, but I'd be happy to speak to the questions.
Further debate?
Since I am knee-deep in alligators in the front row, and sometimes it is hard to tell whether you're looking at a crocodile or an alligator, but from inside the jaws looking out, it's difficult to tell. I think my recollection of the difference under this rule from the federal rule is that this rule spells out, at page one, it says that the court must find by clear and convincing evidence that, one, the witness will not be present to testify at trial, or two, due to exceptional circumstances, the deposition is necessary to prevent a failure of justice. The federal rule simply says that when due to exceptional circumstances, the deposition is necessary. It doesn't include expressly that the witness is not present at trial as being a circumstance when a deposition can be taken.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute House Bill 26, Judiciary? Will members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would the clerk please tally the board? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 26 has passed the House. The clerk please read the next item on today's calendar. Representative Parnell.
I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on CSHB for 26 and ask to be taken up at this time.
Is there objection to taking the reconsideration up at this time? Representative Navarre, at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Parnell.
With the consent of the body, I'm going to withdraw my notice of reconsideration.
Notice of reconsideration has been withdrawn. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Representatives Williams, Terrio, Ogun, Grusendorf, Tui, Mulder, Rochberg, Kelly, Cott, Green, G. Davis, Foster, Coring, Bryce, and Hanley, entitled an act relating to the timber resources within the state.
Is there a debate? Mr. Minority Leader?
Only, Madam Speaker, to correct the board, it should say third reading.
Thanks. She's getting there. Is there a debate? Representative Williams?
Could we have an at ease?
At ease? House, please come back to order. Stand at ease. Order. Representative Williams.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The issue addressed in House Bill 121 is not new to the state, nor is it new to this body. The provisions of the bill were subject to lengthy debate on this very floor last year. In short, we know the timber industry is important to the state and the people of Alaska. It is important to the economy of our state. We also know we have two conditions that are addressed in this bill, a timber supply problem and a significant portion of our forest that is suffering from or may soon be suffering from insect infestation. House Bill 121 addresses those concurrent problems by giving the Commissioner of Natural Resources one more management tool to use in managing our state forest lands for wise use consistent with sustained yield principles. Madam Speaker, very simply, this bill does two things. The first section of the bill allows the Commissioner to propose and prepare a salvage sale without waiting for 2 years. I say 2 years, Madam Speaker, because current law requires all sales be listed on two consecutive five-year schedules. And despite the arguments to the contrary, the department has to work very hard to produce a new five-year schedule every 12 months. Secondly, House Bill 121 adds one new condition to a combination of conditions under which the commissioner can, under current law today, negotiate a timber sale instead of putting it out for competitive bid. This section allows the commissioner to look at the forest health indicators and economic indicators and proactively develop plans to use the negotiated sales to solve the real problems that may arise in the timber-dependent communities. Madam Speaker, finally, it is important to notice that some things that are not in this bill. It does not circumvent public process. Salvage sales would still have to go through the public notice and public hearing process. There would still have to be a 30-day period for agencies and municipal comment. There would still have to be a 30-day public comment period and an additional extra 10 days for coastal zone management analysis. After that, there would still have to be a 21-day notice period for the bid before the sale could take place. This all is provided for in current law and would not be altered by this bill. This bill does not set aside any of the requirements set forth in the Forest Practices Act. A specific forest land use plan under Title 41 would still have to be developed for each salvage sale. Its specifications would be followed by in any harvest activities that may take place in a salvage sale, just as they would under any other timber sale in this state. Madam Speaker, I urge you, the representatives of this body to vote for this important legislation. Thank you.
Further debate, Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Having a lot of spruce bark beetle killed trees in my area, representing the area around Cooper Landing, which we've actually contributed quite a bit of funds to try to alleviate that and protect that community. But the question I have about this bill is why are we taking out the bidding process? And it's not a timeline. That is my understanding, 60 days at the most more to put a bidding process in. Why are we giving the commissioner the ability to give it to one person, to go negotiate it with one person rather than allowing the bidding process? If I could have that question answered to my satisfaction, then I could vote for the bill.
Further debate? Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I too share the concern of the previous speaker there. I have tried and pursued an answer to that and many other questions, and some of which are reassuring, some of which aren't. Part of the problem is that the regulations apply in some cases, don't in others, and of course when you pass a new law, you authorize the department to issue new regulations. So it isn't a completely clear circumstance when it comes to those things, but certainly the the statement of the previous speaker certainly should be the policy of this body. If we have a circumstance in a particular community or particular area where there's a variety of entities available to harvest timber, there should not be a negotiated sale if there's the possibility of a bidding situation. There should not be any special selection of one entity over another where there's a reasonable competition that may exist. That allows for sweetheart deals and for deals that aren't necessarily the public interest. But I have been assured that this bill doesn't do that. If the sponsor or anyone else wants to get up and try to explain why, it'd be helpful. But it's a confusing situation, and I'm not completely convinced of that. My other concern was one of my many other concerns was an amendment I offered and then withdrew on the previous day on this question. I spoke extensively with the sponsor on this question. The question is notice. Do we provide notice in the case of these salvage sales? Because certainly that's the very minimum we'd want to do. The sponsor assured me that the requirements of 3805.112, including notice, would still apply, that there would not be any circumstances where we'd have a salvage sale go on without such local notice, and I felt reassured on that question. There are a number of other questions, though, that still apply. The problem with this legislation is, while it's very well-intentioned, the idea of expediting salvage sales and removing them from the five-year plans is a reasonable idea that I support. There aren't many reassurances in here that the authorization can be extended too far. A good example was the amendment to limit them to 5 years. Every person I've spoken to assures me that there will not be salvage sales beyond 5 years. It's just, by definition, it wouldn't be a salvage sale if that was the case. It'd be a long-term sale. But when we offered an amendment to try to reduce it to 5 years instead of the 25 years that are allowed under the law, there wasn't the support for that. So, Madam Speaker, while I find the intention behind this to be good, I don't feel there's enough reassurance in here for the public interest that there some of these procedures won't be abused, and sales that aren't legitimate salvage sales allowed under the authorization in this bill. I do, though, agree with the intent behind it, and I'd wished we'd adopted a few of those amendments. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? Representative Elton?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I want to note that I think that the point that the bill's sponsor has made about the goal that we're trying to reach here is a laudable point. I guess what bothers me to some extent is the process that this body has adopted. I think we're hurrying the process. I mean, Mason's manual uses the term without mature consideration. And I think to some extent that the process adopted by this body on this bill defines what without mature consideration means. I've heard a lot of questions on the floor, and I guess I would have preferred that these questions had been addressed before it got here. Some of the questions that have been asked, I think, are legitimate questions, and I wish they could have been answered to my satisfaction before somebody makes me push the button on whether this bill should go forward or not. I have a sense that the bill will go forward. I have a sense that the bill will come back after it's been reviewed by the other body, and I think that the issue is going to be back before us. But Madam Speaker, I think a threshold question for this body should be not just is this good law, but is it the best law we could have before us? And I'm not satisfied that it is. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Would the House please stand at ease? Representative Elton, would you come? Would the House please come back to order? Is there further debate? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I, too, have some questions about this bill. And one is, why is it necessary to eliminate the size limits for negotiated sales? It's been asserted that that's what this does. I'd like to know if that is, in fact, what it does, as well as eliminating the term of years. And also, Madam Speaker, in the past, when we have considered bills that dealt with our state forests, I've learned that there is a large amount of public support for use of the forests in many contexts that our forests really are multiple use and that people use them for hunting, fishing, for tourism, and for as well as for recreation and for many other reasons that people care about our state forests. And I guess one of the issues that arises in this legislation, are we tilting the balance and assuming that the highest use of our forests is to cut timber? And how do these other uses and values get evaluated or figured in when we would be considering sales like the ones that are covered in this bill? I'd appreciate some response to those questions.
Representative Ogun.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to address the question brought up by the representative from District 15 about the size limit. We're dealing with massive timber areas that have been killed by spruce beetles here, and we heard testimony from various people in committee that they just don't want any trees cut anywhere, live, dead, or anything. And to me, the notion that we should not cut down dead forests and utilize that wood in an expeditious manner is ridiculous. And I'm going to vote for this bill, and I urge everyone to do it.
Thank you. Further debate? Representative Willis.
Madam Speaker, specifically, how would fish habitat be protected in an area that would be put up for sale? I mean, I'm not quite sure how this would be addressed, and that really concerns me as a sports fisherman. Could somebody kind of maybe give a quick outline of what the process would be and how people concerned about fish habitat, for example, how their concerns would be taken care of if this legislation passes?
Further debate? Representative Williams.
Madam Speaker, if I can at one time answer, at least I hope to answer most of the questions.
Certainly. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would just like to assure the members of this body that this House Bill 26 does not repeal Alaska statutes. I'm sorry, House Bill 121 does not repeal Alaska statutes.
Thank you. Further questions, further debate? Representative Coring.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I wish to offer some thoughts that I have in reference to the legislation at hand. House Bill 121 is a bill that benefits not only other regions of Alaska, but also my own, which is the Manitou Kuskokwim Borough. It's the area of the state that I represent, and I'd like to point out some of those benefits as I see them. It's going to encourage small-scale timber harvesting, which is an industry which has been basically non-existent for many years. It would also enable private individuals to incur significant savings in the cost of constructing their own homes. For example, I personally know of an individual that went out and cut some trees down. They took them to a local mill. They had them cut it into their specifications as far as 2x4s, 2x10s, and so forth, so they could go ahead and frame their house. And in the process, they saved about 50% over purchasing the same material at lumber yards. So it's definitely proven to be economical. Another benefit that I see is that I'm confident this bill would generate some economic development, albeit on a small scale, by creating jobs and putting money in the local economy and in people's pockets where it belongs. I also wish to point out that the Valley has the second highest unemployment rate in the state of Alaska, so this bill is a good start in putting a dent in that statistic. Lastly, this legislation would enable us to utilize the trees being killed by the spruce bark beetle, which we've been talking about. Much of the forests in the valley are infested by the spruce bark beetle. So this creates quite an economic loss by rendering much of these trees valueless unless they are promptly harvested before they deteriorate. So therefore, I encourage my colleagues to vote in favor of this important legislation. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? In wrap-up then, Representative Williams.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I hope to answer most of the questions and make my colleague in front of me feel like he can push the green button. I think one of the reasons that the department, or that I feel comfortable about not having the amendment that was presented by the representative from Anchorage, is that the department The only reason the department uses negotiated sales is when there is only one operator available in the area to harvest the timber, or when there is only one operator who is willing to take on special circumstances connected with the sales, such as reforestation. The department has assured me that they will, that they don't, if there's two interested parties in the sale, that they will not use the negotiated sale available to them. The size of the, that is necessary to increase the size from 500,000 board feet to, I don't know how big some of the beetle kill in the Kenai areas, Madam Speaker, you probably can address that, the other people from there, but there are a very big areas that would take, would be larger than 500,000 board feet of timber. Under the current law, under negotiated sales, you have to complete the negotiated sale within 1 year and 1 day, and not more than 500,000 board feet of timber. How would the fish habitat be taken care of? Under the Forest Practices Act, which is in, which has been negotiated by a lot of interested entities, such as the environmental groups, the administration, and the industry, have worked out the Forest Practices Act, and it took years and years to get that taken care of. I think it was 3 years or 4 years to get that taken care of, and they all agreed. And this was something kind of a landmark situation where they did have all of these groups at least come to a consensus with the Forest Practices Act. And in that, the Forest Practices land use provides for the special findings such as the fish habitat and this sort. So, Madam Speaker, I urge the body to vote yes on this amendment, on this bill.
Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House pass House Bill 121? Would all members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
31 yeas, 6 nays.
And so House Bill 121 has passed the House. Representative Navarre?
I'd like to serve notice reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 121.
Reconsideration notice has been given. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
There's citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Do we have any unfinished business? I do have one note to make. Last week, I referred the confirmation of General Lestenkoff to Community and Regional Affairs. I would like at this time to change that to Military and Veterans Affairs. Sorry for the mix-up there. Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. On behalf of the pages in our room, I would like to thank the Majority Leader for their corsages today.
Do we have any committee announcements? Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This is not exactly a committee, but I would like to remind the body that we are going to have a Fish Caucus meeting at noon in room 124.
Representative Porter.
Speaker, the Judiciary Committee will be meeting at 1 o'clock today to hear the confirmation hearing of Joseph Fallhaber of to the Alaska Bar Association Board of Governors. We'll be hearing HB 70, HN Permanent Fund Dividend Hold Harmless, and HB 5, Limiting Terms of State Legislators. We will not be taking up HB 25.
Further committee announcements? Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Committee on Regional Affairs Committee will meet tomorrow at 1 p.m. to hear the presentation by the Local Boundary Commission and hear House Bill 146, Sled Dog Race Classic, and also a confirmation hearing for DCRA's Commissioner-designate Mike Irwin. Also on the same date, the Special Committee on Military Affairs will hold confirmation hearing for Major General Jake Lesnikoff, Commissioner-designate Department of Military and Veteran Affairs. Thank you.
Further committee announcements? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a point of information for members, if you're interested, the Ethics Committee is meeting today. We've been meeting since this morning, and at 2 o'clock today we'll be looking at possible revisions to the open meetings guidelines, which the Ethics Committee has under consideration. That hasn't been advertised as a public hearing, but that discussion will occur in case members are interested in attending.
Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. With permission of the body, can we move back up the calendar to unfinished business?
Without objection, we're under unfinished business.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following dates. Representative Eldon Mulder from 6 o'clock p.m. Plain Time Friday, February 17th until 9:20 a.m. Plain Time Sunday, February 19th. Representative Osterman from 6:30 a.m. Plain Time Friday, February 17th until 8:48 p.m. Plain Time Sunday, February 19th. And for Representative Betty Davis from 6:55 p.m. Plain Time Wednesday, February 15th until 8:48 p.m. Plain Time Sunday, February 19th. Thank you.
Without objections, those members will be excused. Further regular announcements, general announcements. Are there any special orders? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. After I ask permission of the body to speak about titles.
Without objection, you have the floor.
I realized after reconsidering the bill that we had before us earlier today that I am not going to be here on Wednesday because I'm going to be out of town on business. And I just want to make a note for the body that the title is very broad and would ask consideration on Wednesday for a title, that title amendment that I'll have prepared to be offered. The reason I say that is because sending broad titles actually has the potential for abbreviating or ignoring the public process. We're supposed to have deliberation in both bodies on legislation. If you send too broad of a title, you can drive something under it that has had zero consideration in this body, and the only vote that you have on it is a vote on whether or not you want to concur with the Senate amendments. That is the reason that we attempt to tighten up the title. So I am going to have a amendment drafted to the title, and I'll ask the minority leader to sponsor it on my behalf just for consideration. I just wanted to point that out. The reason that we have two bodies, the argument at least, and I'm a supporter, as many of you know, of unicameral legislature, the argument about why we have two bodies is so that you can have deliberation in both bodies on the subjects and that they go through the committee process. And this bill, the bill that we had before us today, had one committee referral. It was up on the floor. It's fairly short and simple in what it's attempting to do, and I would hope that we don't see the bill back before us with something that has not been considered in this body in its entirety. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further special orders. Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I request permission to the floor to speak on that last great bastion of sexual discrimination.
Without objection, you have the floor.
I know you're dying to hear who won the Women's World Championship dog race in Anchorage over the weekend, and it was Kathy Frost from Fairbanks.
Further special orders? If not, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjourned until 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, February 15th.
We are adjourned until 10 a.m. Wednesday.